Now it's time to open the postbag as we turn to some of this week's letters to the evening news. Let's start off with Brian Fox of Watton, who wonders what is new about the news of a new 90-minute train travel to London. He says, "Of course, I may be wrong and getting more senile, but this new PR thing about speeding up certain trains to London to take 90 minutes makes me slightly puzzled. In the 1980s, was there not a train that used to have this schedule and left Norwich Thorpe, as it was then, at around 7:15 a.m. or thereabouts? I'm sure it was supposed to be the same timing with only a brief stop at Ipswich. As far as I can remember, it was especially aimed at the businessman who worked in the city and got him to Liverpool Street at 9 a.m. for a taxi ride to his office before 9:30. I'm sure it was called the East Anglian, with a posh name and prices to match. Then, as it always happens with a change of timetable one spring, it disappeared because of planned repair schedules, they said, and was never seen again. Did this really happen? If so, what makes a train doing it 20-plus years later wonderful?"
The thorny problem of how Anglia Square will be redeveloped is raised again by Oliver Stewart of Norwich. "There will now be an inquiry to decide on a £250 million redevelopment of a shopping complex, which includes 1,250 new homes, after plans were called in by the government this year. There has been a lot of objection from the Norwich Society, individuals and city councillors, as well as the Dean of Norwich Cathedral, over the 25-storey tower block. However, one thing is certain – Anglia Square in its current form does not work for the residents of Norwich and is wasting precious space and must be desperately renovated. My objection and concern is that it has not been done properly to preserve the individual character of the area, which includes the wider Norwich over the water area, including St Augustine's, which has fared much better than Anglia Square. What is needed is a balance of affordable housing, commercial units and provisions for public transport to make any new development sustainable. I, for one, believe that no redevelopment will be bad for the area, but it has to be done in the correct fashion with the spirit and identity of the area being preserved."
Stephen McNair of Coltishall comments on another thorny issue, EU citizens helping the NHS. Mr. G. Hart suggests in his letter that overcrowding in the NHS is the fault of EU citizens. The reverse is true. Currently, the NHS has 10,000 vacancies for doctors and 35,000 for nurses. The number of care worker vacancies is much higher. We have 62,000 EU nationals working in the NHS, but the number of nurses arriving has fallen to almost nothing since the referendum. Since EU nationals coming here are younger and therefore healthier than the UK population, they make fewer demands on the NHS. We may be able to step up training for UK doctors and nurses, but that takes years. Alternatively, we could bring more from India and Pakistan, but he might not like that either. Far from putting pressure on the NHS and care services, EU citizens are keeping it afloat.
Finally, we hear memories from the past from Barbara Fielden of Norwich. "I have often found that if one lives for a long time, life has a way of repeating itself. All the recent discoveries regarding the overuse of plastic wrappings has brought us back to the days when I was young, when sugar was packed to order in a paper cone. Butter was cut off a large block and wrapped in one piece of paper, as was cheese. Biscuits were in large tin boxes with clear lids in order to see the contents and easily to choose and even mix, as your choice was loaded into paper bags. Bacon was in joints and sliced to order. Housewives took all their shopping home in baskets. I realise the hygiene was not great, but it can't have been that bad. I'm still here, as are all us oldies."